The Leprechaun Lunch with Sean and Sharpley.
Oh, yeah!
On 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader.
What is this?
We're talking Notre Dame football, the NFL, the Cubs, and more.
Oh, yeah, I like this idea.
The Leprechaun Lunch.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
With Sean Stiers.
All you do is dribble.
I have to dribble. If I give it to you, you just shoot.
And Evan Sharpley.
You're a chucker. You chuck.
If it's happening in sports.
Fumble!
We're talking about it.
Flag on the play.
Now your hosts. Woo! Sean Stiers and former Irish quarterback Evan Sharpley.
Well, welcome to the Leprechaun Lunch. It's Friday. It's a little warm outside today, and we are live from Five Star Dive Bar, 526 South Main Street in downtown Elkhart, where we have a wings special today. It's $2 off. You've got $12 for 2 pounds of wings and $7 for 1 pound of wings, and I will be trying once again the commercial challenge where when we go to our first break, eating an entire pound of wings, and it has been added on that I need to eat the fries as well this time around. So I'm going to give that a go. Normally, Sean is here. Sean is on a sabbatical right now, getting a little R&R. So instead of Sean and Sharpley, we have Tyler and Evan. So Tyler James, Notre Dame insider for the South Bend Tribune, is joining us here at Five Star Dive Bar. Again, come on down and see us. Lunch specials, obviously, every night they've got some type of music playing, concerts, comedy show. One quick note, we will not be here next week. It is the 4th of July. On Thursday, and Five Star Dive Bar will be closed the following day on Friday, but you most likely will be able to hear us anyways over the airwaves. Tyler, how you doing? You doing all right?
I'm doing well. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
What's kind of your schedule right now? We're in that weird little, I don't know, it's between spring football. There are things going on within football, certainly recruiting and the off season and preparation for fall camp, but we're almost there, but we're not there yet. What's going on?
Yeah, well, we've been putting together our magazine for the South Bend Tribune, our Indy Insider Football Preview, and we just finished that up. We're getting those back today in the offices, and then those will be out on newsstands next week. And then it's kind of July is kind of our time where we finally get some vacation.
Okay.
So I'm actually off next week, and Eric's got some time off, and I'm helping out Carter Carls covering recruiting this week. I covered a recruiting story, so it's kind of a team effort here during late June and then into July, and we kind of split things up, make sure everyone kind of get away and get charged up for
the
season come August.
And then it's pedal to the metal,
huh? Yeah,
then
pedal it's to the metal. Pedal to the metal till January, basically.
Well, Tyler, we, coming out of spring, certainly, kind of the state of the union, if you could kind of encapsulate, you know, where Notre Dame football is right now, offensively, defensively, special teams. The media was able to see a little bit more this year than in the past as far as the access within the practice set. What's kind of the general feel right now? Maybe areas where you have the most confidence, some areas for concern, maybe some question marks on, you know, positions where players are going to have to step up. What's kind of your general feel? What came out of spring as some areas for you?
Yeah, I think overall, it's a very healthy program and in a good spot. I think that there certainly were some question marks, and I think us watching so much of spring kind of made it that much more obvious of what they needed help with, and I think that's clear that the linebacker situation is not settled yet, and it probably won't be settled until the first game of the season, and might not be settled throughout the season even. They might be making changes as they go, trying to figure out the best combination there. Special teams is the other area that is a little concerning, especially with the kicking games, with Jonathan Doerr coming back to trying to replace Justin Hughes, the field goal kicker. Will he be able to hold on to that job? They have Harrison Leonard, a walk-on freshman, coming in with a lot of confidence, hoping to maybe find a role for himself as well. And Jay Bramblett, being a freshman punter who was actually on campus for the spring as an early enrollee. So lots of new faces there. And didn't see a lot of great stuff out of Jay Bramlett in the spring, though they don't get a punt a ton, and certainly when they're indoors, it's hard for them to get a lot of work, but have to go outside while we're inside watching. But so I think those are the biggest areas of concern. But I think everywhere else, I think you see a team that is ready to make potentially another run at the college football playoff. I think I expect the offensive line to get better. I think there was some shaky moments last season, but with four starters coming back with more experience, and the fact that they sort of settled the center position with Jarrett Patterson going into the spring, I think gave them some time to kind of gel together and be ready for a big offseason and a season where they need to improve. I think the skill positions are in a healthy spot. I think we saw some more depth at wide receiver, and that was a big question mark heading into spring that I think as much as you can answer in spring, they did answer with some younger guys being able to step up. And I obviously expect big seasons from Chase Claypool and Chris Fink. And then defensively, of course, you're going to be carried by your defensive linemen, especially your defensive ends. And then I expect the safeties, Alohi Gilman and Jalen Elliott, to have big seasons as well. So not a lot of question marks, but I think the question marks that are left are pretty big question marks. Right. And so those could it's going to be very telling how those question marks are answered, and I think that could have a big impact on how this season plays out.
Regardless of whether or not a starting quarterback is named, if there's a competition, if there's not, there's always a lot of publicity around the quarterback position at Notre Dame, and I know you did a story in the ND Insider magazine, and we'll touch on that a little bit because we're not going to get too in-depth on what exactly you talked about and what you wrote because we want our listeners to go out there and actually get the ND Insider magazine. But kind of touch on a little bit on the off-season development and some next steps that both Ian Book, you know, is trying to take in his progression as at the quarterback position. While Tommy Reese, the quarterback coach, former Notre Dame quarterback, is kind of trying to help that progression along with the vein and the context of what has happened under Brian Kelly with previous quarterbacks.
Yeah, I think it was fascinating because I got to spend some time with Tommy and Ian together in the film room, spent a little time. They kind of walked through the first series of the Blue Gold game with me and went through it like they would normally go through film and sort of talked about some of the different things they're doing and how they're trying to make things easier for Ian and get him to understand things better, because that's one of Ian's biggest goals, is to have a better grasp of everything the defense is trying to do against him. I think at times we saw maybe last year some last-minute changes that the defenses would make would maybe throw off his progressions and stuff like that, and he would get a little antsy in the pocket, but I think he's gaining confidence in his understanding of the defense, and he feels like that can really improve his game. And for the most part, last season, Ian was really good, but he had a few games where he struggled a bit, and I think he knows that, and he wants to continue to find improvement. But one of the things I asked them is, I kind of gone back, and only one quarterback during the Brian Kelly era has started the majority of the games in consecutive seasons, and that was DeShone Kizer. And his passing efficiency actually dropped from his first year as a starter to the second year as a starter. And so I kind of posed that to them. I said, guys, Notre Dame, for some reason, has this trend where guys can't stay as the starting quarterback or their passing efficiency dropped. I think the last person whose passing efficiency increased for two consecutive seasons was Jimmy Clausen. And so there haven't been guys, obviously Tommy Reese and Everett Golson did increase their passing efficiency later in their career, but they spent a season not being the starter between their seasons as starters. So I kind of asked them that, and they're like, well, that's not something we were aware of, but we're hoping to try and...
is that a red flag?
Yeah. That's just another trend we'll have to break, or a myth we'll have to break. So I'm kind of curious, from your perspective, why do you think that is? Do you think that's a product of coaching? Is it a product of everything you have to handle as a starting quarterback at Notre Dame? Is it tough to keep improving once you become the starting quarterback at Notre Dame?
I think it's the product of the environment within college football. A lot of times I think the expectation for quarterbacks that are getting recruited out of high school is, once they arrive on campus, and I'm gonna veer outside of just Notre Dame here. It's not just at Notre Dame. And there are success stories of where there are improvements and guys are getting better at other programs, and a lot of times you chalk that up to development. And that may be the case, but I would say overall, kind of a broad umbrella statement is there's not a whole heck of a lot of development going on once you're there. It's very hard to physically sure. develop or improve. Like, if you're showing up to campus at a major college program and you already have flaws within your throwing program or your mechanics, those are probably not going to go away. And the reason being is you're recruited for the skills that you have. you're probably pretty good if you're ending up at a school like Notre Dame, if you're ending up at a school like Michigan, Ohio right. State, Clemson, Alabama. There's a reason why you're being recruited. It's not because you're a bad football player. Once you get there, really where a lot of the focus is placed then is learning the offense, okay, and having an understanding of, if you're a quarterback, having an understanding of what your protections are at the offensive line, what your hots are, what your side adjustments are if a team is blitzing, whether they're bringing linebacker blitzes or they're bringing secondary blitzes. How can you audible out of those plays? Sure. How can you get into the right run if you need to alert to a different play based on coverage and rotation? All of those things. There is much, much more time spent in the film room studying opposing defenses, but then also learning your actual offense so that once you're on the field, you can orchestrate and run the offense that's out there. So there's a lot less time spent on the skill side.
Right.
And that was kind of, for me, my personal story was a little bit of an eye-opener on, you know, I thought I was going to come in and I was going to spend all this time on footwork and, you know, three-step drops, five-step drops, the technique side of those things. And it's not to say that that doesn't happen. It does, because every program has certain nuances on, you know, does the quarterback, is his left foot staggered versus his right? Is he going to take a kick step?
Mm-hmm.
You know, those types of things certainly are built in within the structure, but really overall, if we're talking about reps, I mean, you talk about you're playing football from what, third grade up until you're a senior,
right?
That is a huge chunk of repetitions that are not, you know, seen or structured by your college program that you're with for 3 to 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I can understand why, if that's not a main focus, if there are red flags when you enter college, those can remain red flags throughout the process that you're playing. And I think they become more evident when you're the starting quarterback.
Right, yeah, right? Sure.
So you win the job. You usually win the job with the same skill set you have when maybe things aren't going as well.
Mm-hmm.
But when there's a book on you then, when I'll use the example of playing baseball, right? As a hitter, you see some players, they break in and they have some success early. But once staffs and opposing teams have a scouting report on how to pitch a guy,
yeah.
It's the same thing within football. You know, you have an MO on, well, we're going to try to take away the strengths that this quarterback has. And if those red flags that may have been there as a freshman or an incoming freshman and a sophomore when they weren't playing are still there as a redshirt junior, and then the following year, you know, in your second year as a starter, they can start to take those things away. So it makes sense for me on why sometimes those passing efficiency numbers can decline. I will say, though, if we're specifically talking about and looking at a player like Ian Book, for me, when I watched his film as an incoming freshman, just from a pure passing standpoint, probably the fewest amount of red flags of a quarterback in the last 8+ years.
Sure, yeah.
He's a guy that can consistently spin it, is naturally accurate. Those are sometimes those are things that you can't necessarily teach,
mm-hmm.
right? If you're saying, well, we're going to bring him in and be like, all right, we're going to have to fix his throwing motion. He's accurate sometimes. He's completing, you know, maybe 50, 55% of his pass at the high school level. That's not a great trend, you know, once you
right.
get to college, because those aren't things that you're going to really fix with a snap of the fingers. You're going to need some reps. You're going to need to make some changes. And again, what they say, it takes however many reps to build habits. You're going to have to take a lot more reps than to break that habit and to rebuild it. So, you know, I'm excited to see this season and how Tommy and Ian attack that. But I think for this specific situation, I think that Tommy's got to be pretty excited, because it's not like they're saying, all right, he can't make these throws.
Right.
He's done a great job. He was around, you know, 70% completion percentage, which is pretty dang good.
Yeah.
And even in his down games, he was around 65. Did he miss some throws? Did he miss some puppies that could have been touchdowns?
Mm-hmm.
No doubt. But at this point now, you know, instead of saying we need to start from scratch and fix this in the offseason, it becomes, how do you have a better grasp in exactly what you were doing and sitting down in that film room?
Mm-hmm.
And who was the best at that? Tommy was the best at that.
Right.
There's a reason why he was on the field. It wasn't because of his tremendous you know, five-star physical talents. It was what he had between the ears. You know, could he throw passes? Absolutely. You know, was he able to get into the right plays? Sure. But that was the big separator for him, was being able to lead the offense. And I think now you have the physical skill set of Ian Book, who is athletic, can make throws in and out of the pocket. But now it's, can I get my offense into the very best play every single down?
Yeah, I think it's fascinating to me that Ian has Tommy as his quarterback's coach, and Ian spoke very, very highly of Tommy and the value that he brings, but as a coach, but also because of his experience playing quarterback at Notre Dame. It's obviously tremendously relatable, and he talked about how Tommy has this incredible memory where there'd be a play that happens in a game, and Tommy would be like, oh, I remember this happened to me at Purdue in 2011 or something like that. And so they'll be able to go back and kind of compare situations and see how they should handle that. And you talked about the physical attributes. I do remember watching Ian, as someone who covered recruiting, I watched Ian's high school film as well, and it seemed like he was putting the ball where he wanted to. I feel like I struggle to totally understand what makes a great quarterback and what you need to improve on. I feel like I don't know the mechanics of a quarterback's delivery and stuff well enough to judge that. But I was like, well, he's not a big kid, but he's putting it where he wants it. I think that's a big part of the job. So, but I also thought Brandon Wimbush would be great at Notre Dame, and that didn't necessarily happen. So it's hard to, at least from my perspective, to get a judge on that physical ability and how it will match up at the college level. But this past season, one of the things that I think some fans have been a little bit worried about is Ian Book's ability to throw the ball deep. And I've asked Ian about it. I don't think he loves being asked about it.
Probably not.
And I even asked Tommy about it. And it's almost a bit of a joke to them that they'll joke that if he makes a deep ball throw in practice, he's like, oh, Ian, you can actually throw it deep. I didn't know that. Or if he misses a deep ball, it's like, wow, this kid really can't throw deep. But they're just giving Ian a hard time. But I do. There is numbers to back it up. I tried to track his stats from this past season in his starts, and he was 5 of 21, which is 23.8% for 209 yards and two touchdowns on throws of over 30 yards down the field. So he did have some struggles with inaccuracy. Every other distance was 50% or more. There was a 48% between 11 to 15 yards. So there is something that they need to work on there, I think.
The crazy part to me on that is I don't feel like it's a lack of arm strength.
Right, it's not a physical thing. Right, yeah, and that's their thought, too. That it's not that Ian can't throw it. It's that he hasn't, and they need to figure out why that is and how do they get better at that. And I don't know what your thoughts are on what you saw from him I don't know if there was a consistent thing in why they couldn't do that at a high level, or if it's just – obviously, every throw is different, and every situation is different. A route could be changed, and lots of things can happen to prevent a deep ball from being completed.
I think that you know, the chemistry side of things, and you went from having, you know, Brandon Wimbush, who was he started over 10 games, as a quarterback at Notre Dame, to now you have a new face in there. So really, up to that point, and it may be true, you know, Brian Kelly told us that their split leading up to the season was around, you know, 60-40, 50-50.
Right.
Whether that was true or not, we don't know. And there is something to say on, you know, being on the same page and developing chemistry with your wide receiver group.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that had a little bit to do with it and especially in game. So a lot of these situations early on that Ian Book was experiencing, he was experiencing really for the first time.
Sure.
Yeah, he had a couple of starts. He had some playing under his belt, but by and large, he wasn't the guy, and he wasn't the guy every week. So I don't want to... And I don't think fans should be too hung up on that. Now, if he goes out there and proves me wrong, then so be it. But I really don't think that. I think when those opportunities present itself this year, and he's got a crew of receivers, I think that can hurt teams in a number of different ways. You've got a big body receiver on the backside in Chase Claypool, and then you really have a pretty versatile group that can stretch the field vertically, which I don't think, I think that's been the other thing, is Chip Long and the offensive staff, they've had to be pretty creative in the last few years because they haven't had a guy like Will Fuller who you can say, run by the guy.
Right. You know? Yeah.
Exactly. So that's a lot. That as a quarterback, that's an easier throw to take your 5-step drop, and you already know that you're going to have separation on the outside. You just let it fly.
Yeah, you can't overthrow him either.
Right.
And a lot of his deep ball throws that were missed last year, they appeared to be overthrows that he just wasn't able to get him to where he needed to, and maybe threw it a little too far. And so obviously that says something about his arm strength that he can actually throw it that distance. It's not that that's an issue, but just for some reason the timing and the communication wasn't necessarily on the same page with the wide receiver.
So staying on the offensive side of the ball, obviously there's a lot of talk the QB side of things. You've got a guy now who's going to be in his second full year now as the starting quarterback, and ultimately in a leadership position too. I know Brian Kelly still is not named captains,
right?
Which I think should, in my opinion, should happen soon,
right?
As we get closer here to fall camp. But you know, outside of the quarterback position, certainly running back, it's kind of up for grabs as far as how that split is going to be. What position group right now, outside of quarterback position, because I think there should be a lot of excitement there, and I think for this team to have success, Ian Book is going to have to spread the ball around, and this offense is going to have to score points. But if there's one position group or maybe one player that you think is really primed for a breakout season, who would be that person?
I think if I had to pick just one, I would probably go with Jafar Armstrong. I think that he has a very high ceiling as a running back, and I think we saw flashes of that last year. In his first year playing the position. Mm-hmm. And I think that he will be able to continue that development. And I think he'll probably make himself into the number one running back. I think that he'll probably get the majority of the carries. I think they have some nice options in Tony Jones Jr. and Jameer Smith, especially as maybe the number two and three guys that can mix things up and do things a little bit differently. But I think Jafar is just such an overall threat to the defense. I think they can use him in multiple ways. Certainly as a receiver out of the backfield, they could even line him up in the slot being a former receiver and give the defense different looks. I expect to have him to have a very good season. I also think Chase Claypool is going to do very well as the number one wide receiver and taking over that role from Miles Boykin. I've always liked Chase Claypool's ceiling as a player. I thought even when he was a recruit out of Canada that he may have had the highest upside in his entire recruiting class that he came to here with Notre Dame. And I know people at certain times thought, well, maybe he should play defense. Maybe they should look at him there because he's just such an explosive athlete. But I think his best use would be at wide receiver, and I think he's starting to get a better understanding of what he can do at that position, and has a lot of confidence in his relationship with Ian. And I think he could be one of those guys that helps them prove that Ian Book can throw the deep ball, because I think he can create some separation there, even though maybe he didn't a lot of times last season.
We call him the first off the bus. He's on the first off the bus team.
Absolutely. Sure. Yeah, he is an impressive dude.
You want him walking out first.
Put him and pre-game. Julian Aquara next to each other.
Pre-game warm-ups, that's who's walking out first.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I think the offense as a whole, I think, is something that will carry this team and be able to put up 35, 40 points a game. I think that it has that kind of capability. So I'm very, very interested to see how well they're able to do. And I think if Ian Book does take his game to the next level, which I think he will, that could be big for this offense.
Well, you're listening to the Sean and Sharpley show right now, the Leprechaun Lunch at Five Star Dive Bar, 526 South Main Street. The food special today, you've got 2 pounds of wings for $12, and I have 1 pound of wings sitting here in front of me. The cost for that is $7. It includes fries. And shortly here, I will be trying the challenge of eating the 1 pound of wings in between the commercial break, which is 3 minutes long. So we'll see how I do on that. Always lots going on here at Five Star Dive Bar, different concerts, comedy shows, great food all the time. And then obviously here, Leprechaun Lunch Fridays from noon to 1. I'm joined by Tyler James today. Sean is out. Notre Dame insider for the South Bend Tribune. We're talking Notre Dame football. We'll get to a little Notre Dame baseball later in the show, too. We'll talk a little MLB and kind of go through a rapid fire as far as what's going on in the area. But obviously, with Tyler here today, we're going to talk a lot of Notre Dame football. Been talking Ian Book, quarterback development. He was able to sit down with both Tommy Rees and Ian Book, and hopefully avoiding a decline in play here in year two, which really has been the trend overall. In the Brian Kelly era at the quarterback position, And I would say this, if that is the case, I think that it wouldn't be a great season. I mean, I think at this point, and you mentioned it, for this offense, they do, I think, need to score 35 to 40 points just with what walked out the door on the defensive side. And we've spent so much time so far talking about the offense. Let's talk a little bit about the defense. You know, there are some pieces, some big pieces that are coming back. Mike Elston, obviously, has done a fantastic job both recruiting and developing at the defensive line. Jerry Tillery is gone, but you've got guys like Julian Acquara coming back, who the number of hurries and sacks combined were astronomical. You know, if he's able to hit on a couple of those hurries this year and turn those into sacks, you know, he's going to be a guy that could be a top of the board player in the NFL draft next year. I think the major question here is who is going to fill the void at linebacker with Drew Tranquil being gone now. You know, a lot of tackles there. Julian Love certainly leaving and going to the NFL. There's a void there. Just, you know, if you watch the Clemson tape, I think is enough film to say
right.
With him not on the field, there were quite a few issues, but
right.
A lot to be excited about. You know, I think my favorite player on the defense, if I'm allowed to have a favorite player, is Alohi Gilman. I think that he's, you know, he has. He should fit the bill, too, at the captain position for this Notre Dame defense and hopefully taking it to the next level. So, you know, we're a couple years removed now of Mike Elko leaving, Clark Lee now taking over the 4-2-5 defense that he brought in. A lot of success within the first couple of years, I think quicker than most fans probably thought. I think there was there were some thoughts that it could be as good as it was, but I don't know if we would have predicted. I certainly didn't predict the type of success that we saw in year one and then carried into year two. So the recipe seems to be working, but you also need the Jimmys and Joes to make sure that the X's and O's work. So take us through right now kind of your thoughts on where this defense can be and certainly for this team to have a success and a repeat visit to the college football playoff. They can't solely rely on the offense.
Right. Yeah, I think that I was kind of curious once Mike Elko left or once Mike Elko came here and replaced Brian Van Gorder, that how much of it was personnel based and how much it was defensive scheme based in the reasons they were having so many issues. And I think it seemed pretty clear, at least right off the bat, that maybe it wasn't a personnel issue, that they just needed to get things sorted out and have guys playing with confidence and being all on the same page on that defense. And so I think that that seems to have been the case with Mike Elko and Clark Lee. I think every conversation I leave having with Clark Lee, I feel like I've learned something. He seems like an incredibly smart guy and
super smart,
and has a lot of understanding of both how he relates to his players and how the players are trying to learn the game. And so I think that this defense will certainly be prepared to play with his leadership on defense. It's just a matter of figuring out who those guys will be. I didn't see a ton out of the linebackers in spring, but I think linebacker is such a hard position to evaluate in spring football because there's not doing a lot of full live tackling. We're not seeing everything that they're going to be required to do on a game and on Saturdays. So I think that I'm just kind of giving him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt, probably just because I feel like he has things. He knows what he's doing and knows what he wants to do. So I think that will get sorted out. Certainly, I don't think that whoever replaces Tavon Coney and Drew Tranquil this season will play at their level that those guys played at last year. But I think there's maybe some better athleticism there in terms of having some more versatile linebackers. So I think if they can get that figured out, I think they can be pretty good. I think Troy Pride is ready for a big year at cornerback, and I'm somewhat confident in Houston Griffith's ability. I think we saw times where he was maybe exposed a little bit during the spring, but I think he can be a very good cornerback as well. And like you mentioned, Alohi Gilman being one of your favorite players on defense, I think both him and Jalen Elliott could both be captains in my mind, but I think they're both very good leaders and have certainly played to that level. And the defensive line, it is really getting ready for a potentially special year. You talked about Julian Acquara. That's who our cover story on the Indy Insider magazine is. I talked to him, and he has very high goals. He wants to break the single-season sack record at Notre Dame this season. So we'll see if he can do that. They have the evidence, they feel like, from last season that if he would have just finished a lot of different sacks, he would have been able to reach that number, but he just was one small thing here or there away from making those sacks, and he would get his hands on the quarterback, wouldn't bring him down, but they feel like they're going to better prepare him for that this season. So I think there's reasons to be excited about this defense, but I think because there's so many questions at linebacker, there's a reason to be a little bit precautious as well.
Well, Tyler, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue talking Notre Dame football. We'll get into some Notre Dame baseball talk, too, and their search for a new head coach. We'll get into some Major League Baseball, even how about the senior PGA? You paying attention to that?
How about Notre Dame recruiting, since we're at the five-star dive bar?
We probably should take care of some Notre Dame recruiting, too. So we'll hit that. You're listening to WSBT South Bend, the sports leader. Back to the Sean and Sharpley show, the Leprechaun Lunch. We're live from Five Star Dive Bar, where I am now 2 for 2 on eating 1 pound of wings in between a commercial break. Thank you very much. I did not eat the fries.
It's quite the feat.
The fries, I don't think are happening. It might be time to move up to the 2 pound challenge. That might be next on the docket. Although I don't think I'm in mid-season form yet, so I may need a couple of weeks of practice before we actually go live on going to the 2-pounder. But that's okay. We're here again live from Five Star Dive Bar, 526 South Main Street in Elkhart. There's $12 for 2 pounds of wings. You got $7 for 1 pound. You do get the fries. Those do come with a special as well. Always a lot going on here. Just one quick reminder, next week we will not be here because Five Star will be closed. Happy 4th of July to everybody. But we will be back the following week, live and ready to go. And I assume that my normal co-host, Sean Stiers, will be here as well. Maybe a little more tan. I don't know. We'll see. But we have Tyler James with us, the Notre Dame insider for the South Bend Tribune. We've been talking Notre Dame football because that's just always what we talk about. We talk about Notre Dame football, even when Notre Dame football, it's not even Notre Dame football season, but it's, you know, it's Notre Dame football season year round. So we talk about it. We're just a couple, we're 70-ish days away, under 70 now.
Oh, I don't know.
Sean has the countdown every week. He always has the specific day. So we're getting closer. What? Okay. We'll be playing around Labor Day, I think, is when it is, against Louisville.
We're getting close because I'm planning my travel for the season. So that's how you know we're getting
close.
Which
we talked before the show. Your travel is much, much easier than last year. Last year was a little bit of a nightmare for you.
Yeah, a couple of trips out to California. You're going out to California. There's worse things in the world, but it was just a very tiring season with two trips out to California, going out to New York, and I had a lot of travel issues. On the trip out to New York, they had a big snowstorm in Newark, and so they weren't flying us into Newark. So I flew to Baltimore, and then took a train from Baltimore to Newark. So we had
plane, trains, and automobiles.
We had quite the experience last season, and so this season will be a little bit easier with just flights to Georgia and flights to Duke.
Now, were you traveling with Stanford, the good Sir Eric Hansen, on those trips?
Eric has been sticking home for some of those trips because as much as they wear on me, I think he's happy to not have to do that from time to time. So I made those trips. Usually it would be either Tom Noy with me. I think probably for most of those trips, Tom made the trip.
We like Tom season on this show. Mr. 45%. 45% from three-point land.
Yeah, so Tom and I are big travel buddies. He already sent me his flights that he booked, so I got to try and get something that matches up close to his. And looking forward to another fun season on the road. It's definitely a little bit tiring, but it's certainly worth it. And I've done more traveling from this job than I've done in my personal life, and so it's a pretty cool experience.
Well, Tyler, let's just do a quick plug for the ND Insider Magazine, different stories that are going to be in there and where people can find it.
Yeah, if you want to order a copy, if you're not locally, you can order at ndinsider.com/buy/buythemag. But if you are in local, starting next week at some various points, don't have specific dates, but by the end of the week, they should be in local stores, whether it's Martin's or a local convenience store or a gas station. A number of different places will carry that. And also, if you go to ndinsider.com/buythemag, you can find a list of locations that you can find those for. But $9.95 that way, if you want it shipped to you, it's $12.95, and 100 pages of everything you need to know about Notre Dame football heading into this season.
And I saw, too, there's a couple other things going on, ND Insider, as far as staying plugged in, getting alerts, etc.
Yeah, we have the ND Insider app. It sends you breaking news alerts when this past week when Jay Brunell, a 3-star wide receiver, committed to Notre Dame. Minutes after that happens, you'll get an alert on your phone, so you won't have to be sitting on your phone waiting for that news to happen. We'll send it to you. So there's all kinds of different things you can get from ndinsider.com. And also, if you want all of our coverage, you can sign up for the premium subscription, whether monthly or annual, and we got all kinds of good stuff coming there as well.
Well, that seems like a pretty good segue into the recruiting side of things. We've been talking with Tyler James, Notre Dame football, specifically the quarterback position. He sat down with Ian Book, Notre Dame's quarterback, coming up this fall, and quarterback coach, former Notre Dame quarterback Tommy Reese, just in his offseason development, kind of taking the next step. We just finished up talking about the Notre Dame defense, some holes to fill there, certainly, but with Clark Lee at the head of this defense as the defensive coordinator, I know there's always a lot of excitement as far as what this this team can do. There's a lot of talk year in and year out. There are websites designed specifically for it, the recruiting side of the football game. What's kind of next in the pipeline here for Notre Dame within the recruiting class? It's been pretty hot as of late as far as the number of commits. What's this class currently look like for Notre Dame?
Well, the 2020 class has 15 commitments, and depending on who you ask, around the top five nationally, around five or six, according to Rivals or 24/7 Sports. So they're off to a very good start. They just in the 2020 class, they've received four commitments this month. And they also received three commitments in the 2021 class. It's kind of hard to think about that. They're already talking about 2021 recruits, but that is a thing. They have a very good start to the 21 class as well. The last three commitments in that class were all 4-stars, and pretty much everyone in that class is a 4-star recruit. The 2020 class is sort of shifted from going after maybe the big-time guys to maybe filling some needs now. Wide receiver and cornerback are areas that have received the most attention as of late. Like I mentioned, Jay Brunell committed to Notre Dame earlier this week, a 6'1", 200-pound receiver out of Massachusetts. He's a 3-star recruit. They're going after a guy like Xavier Watts, who's also a 3-star recruit out of Nebraska. They're hoping to maybe add him to the class and then put him together with Jordan Johnson, who's a 5-star according to Rivals, and maybe that be your wide receiver class. Cornerbacks, they received commitments from Clarence Lewis and Landon Bartleson, both 3-star recruits this past month, and so maybe looking to add another corner to this class. Caleb Offord is a kid out of Mississippi who's planning to make an announcement on the 4th of July. So
nice.
Carter Carls gets the pleasure of having to potentially cover some recruiting news on the 4th of July, which actually last year I had to do. That Notre Dame had two commitments, Cam Hart, a wide receiver, and Brendan Clark, the quarterback.
Were you out on like a pontoon boat committed. Breaking the news?
So, yeah, I had stories ready to go, but was at friends for the parade, and then one announced in the morning and one announced in the afternoon. So it kind of worked out, but it was quite the day, but there's never an off day when it comes to recruiting. So I know Troy Pride Jr. committed to Notre Dame on Christmas Eve one year. Eric, I wrote the story, and Eric was posting it with his grandson on his lap. So we always have something coming up. So recruiting has been very, very, as I mentioned, very popular this past month, and they're moving into a dead period now. So there's no more visits. Kids can't visit until later in July, in late July. And then official visits will start back up when the season starts and they start playing games. So the recruiting calendar has moved up so much with allowing early official visits that 15 may sound like a lot of commitments, but it's not an unheard of amount of commitments nationally with the 2020 class. It's just kind of the way the schedule has worked out.
There's been a couple of changes that the NCAA has allowed, one being earlier official visits, getting kids on campus a little bit earlier, and also an early signing period,
right,
too. Now that we've got to be one full cycle at least now in,
yep,
since those changes, I think for a school like Notre Dame, and you can speak to this too because I'm sure that you have a little bit of a better pulse, what has that done for future classes and how Notre Dame is able to, I think, finalize and wrap up with an earlier signing period and then shift their focus to some of these younger players?
Yeah, you're always working ahead even more now than ever before because you know that you have to have a bead on what these kids are going to do next spring, even though they're still only going to be juniors, because you want to try and maybe get them on campus for an official visit if that's what they want to do. So before a kid makes an official visit, you want to be pretty certain of whether or not he's a guy that you're that interested in, because you're limited to the amount of official visits you can. That's a financial commitment to the kid because the schools pay for the official visits, the travel and stuff. So I think that it's really sped things up and made sure that Notre Dame is on top of things. And I think they have been, and they're doing a good job, and they've adjusted pretty well to the new recruiting calendar. If a kid wants to make a decision before senior year, they want to make sure they get him on campus for an official visit before that happens. Certainly their preference is to get kids on campus for a game day, because that's when you get a real sense of what Notre Dame is like. But I think because of this, they have to be a little bit more flexible. They have to be more aggressive in seeing if kids, maybe as sophomores and juniors, want to get on campus for unofficial visits. They know that certainly that's a financial burden on the recruit and their family, but it's just something that you kind of have to push for and see and open the doors for, and make sure that you're willing to host those kids if they want to come early, because earlier and earlier kids are making visits and trying to figure out what they're going to do, and so Notre Dame has to be prepared for that.
There was a lot of publicity and buzz in recent years. Ohio State has a Friday Night Lights type of camp. Sure. Notre Dame did an Irish Invasion.
Right.
I know. Where does Notre Dame kind of stand right now with those types of events? I believe there was a quarterback academy type of setup that kind of was structured around also a larger camp for non-QB position players too. But what's Notre Dame's position right now on that in setting up some of those to get some of these high-level recruits on campus?
Yeah, so did Tommy invite you to work the quarterback academy?
I was not. I'm technically not allowed to.
Oh, okay. Because there were other former quarterbacks. DeShone Kizer was there. And, Andrew Hendricks was there. Dane Crist was there. So it was kind of cool to see all the former Notre Dame quarterbacks.
I talked with Ron Paulus prior to that camp occurring, and was kind of pitching an idea of like a Notre Dame Legends. Not that I wouldn't be. I would help structure the camp.
Sure,
but, you know, we'd bring in guys like Brady and Rick and obviously Tommy and Ron and Jimmy and those guys, and have them run the camp,
sure,
right?
Sure.
Or at least be the face.
Yeah.
And since I, you know, my other job that I have, right, is training high school and college quarterbacks, and let me kind of structure it and get it that way. But because I work with high school recruits, I am not allowed to help.
Sure. Sure, it makes it. Yeah, there's lots of different rules that, unless you're in the game, you aren't really aware of them. They're trying to make sure that there's no sort of extra benefits that kids are receiving through their coaches and private coaches and stuff like that. So that kind of makes sense to me now that you mentioned that. But yeah, I think the camps have worked in Notre Dame's favor. They've gotten commitments from guys that attend those camps. It's certainly has shifted since when the Irish Invasion first started, because that was more focused towards guys that were going into their senior year.
Mm-hmm.
And now kids, they don't even want to camp going into their senior year because they feel like they already know what their options are, and they're in the process of whittling down what they want to do rather than trying to get on Notre Dame's radar that late. So it's more shifted to younger kids, like Kane Barong, who's a tight end in the 2021 class who recently committed to Notre Dame. He was at the Irish Invasion working out. Jay Brunell, actually, who did commit to Notre Dame earlier this week, he is going to be a senior, but he came out to the camp to camp and got an offer after the camp, and that kind of proved that he, in Notre Dame's eyes, that he ran a 4.48 in the rain. So like, okay, his speed's legit. Mm-hmm. We like what he's doing, so they offered him, and they entered a commitment after that. You'll see less of that now, but I think there still are opportunities for that to happen. But it's just more shifting into younger kids, and it's funny because I go and watch these, and it's like, I don't know which guys. These kids are so young, I don't know how to tell who's good and who's not. They have so much growing to do and so much developing to do, but it's on the coaching staff to try and figure that out, and obviously they're better at that than I am because that's what they're paid to do. So it's been a definite change, but Notre Dame's done a good job of getting a lot of kids on campus and getting a good sense of what those kids can do.
We're at Five Star Dive Bar right now, 526 South Main Street. $12 for 2 pounds of wings, $7 for a pound. I'm talking with Tyler James, Notre Dame insider for the South Bend Tribune, talking Notre Dame football. We just got done talking recruiting. Let's kind of put a button on the rest of the team. Aaron Banks just recently had foot surgery. Kind of give us an update on that, and then we'll head to break, and we'll go a little rapid fire when we come back to close out the show.
All right, yeah, Aaron Banks, starting left guard for Notre Dame, had foot surgery, according to a source for ND Insider. Eric Hansen reported yesterday that he should be back in time at some point during camp. I'm not quite sure if that's early or late, but we'll see how that goes. Certainly sometimes a little bit worried when a big guy goes through a foot injury, but Aaron had a good season and could potentially be Notre Dame's best offensive lineman long term, so getting him back on the field will be important. I should mention Irish Sports Daily first reported the news, and Eric later confirmed it, but doesn't seem like there's a ton of concern right now about that, and certainly maybe a guy like Josh Lugg could get some more reps in the spring, mm-hmm. and be prepared to be maybe that sixth man in on the offensive line. So something to watch, but we'll see how that plays out for Aaron.
Well, Tyler, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk Notre Dame baseball, coaching vacancy, some MLB, the Cubbies, and your Sox. That sounds good? All right, and maybe a little bit of the senior PGA. We're live from Five Star Dive Bar right now, downtown Elkhart. You're listening to Sean and Sharpley, the Leprechaun Lunch on WSBT.
Every athlete wants to be the best. At Sharpley Training in Elkhart, you would think my husband, former Notre Dame quarterback Evan Sharpley, would be the tougher of the two. But it's actually me, Miss Indiana 2011, Jackie Sharpley, a.k.a. The Boss. We have a proven track record of developing athletes, kids to pros, in a top-notch competitive environment. We offer cutting-edge skill development for all sports, strength and conditioning classes, speed and agility small groups, and range of motion training. Our mission is to develop well-rounded, exceptional athletes. Contact Sharpley Training at 574-226-8234 for more information.
Does your financial advisor take the time to really listen to you? Is your financial strategy personalized for you and your family? When you work with Jim Hibschman, your Mishawaka Edward Jones financial advisor, he focuses on what's important to you. You'll work together and use an established process to create a personalized financial strategy backed by the advice, tools, and resources to help you reach your goals. And you'll partner to help your strategy stay on track. Contact Jim Hibschman today. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
Nobody beats our prices at Menards, so you can rest assured you'll save big money on everything you need to get a good night's sleep. All Serta Perfect Sleeper mattresses are on sale. Plus, get a free box spring with your purchase. Right now, a Blue Ridge Queen mattress in soft, medium, or firm is just $389. Price is good through July 6th. Now, during Menards' 4th of July sale.
Save big money at Menards.
Hi, this is Bobby from Bistro 933. We bring you a wide variety of handcrafted cocktails, seafood, steaks, gluten-free, and vegetarian options. We offer daily food specials such as Burger Monday, Taco Tuesday, and all-you-can-eat Fish Fry Friday. Check out our brand new summer menu on Bistro933.com and like us on Facebook. Come enjoy upscale comfort food and cocktails at one of South Bend's top-rated restaurants by TripAdvisor. Bistro 933, located inside the Hilton Garden Inn, South Bend.
There's nothing like meeting face-to-face, and there's nothing like Zoom to make that happen. Zoom lets you connect and do business across town or around the world. Zoom ties together all of your communication needs into one easy platform for video conferencing, phone calls, group chat, webinars, and your conference rooms. Connect easily from anywhere, your mobile phone, your laptop, or conference room. Zoom is how business gets done. Get your free account at Zoom.com today. Meet happy with Zoom.
Some Italian restaurants promise you one thing, quantity. Endless this, unlimited that. But do you want to be filled with salad and breadsticks? Carmella's would rather fill you with homemade pastas, like chicken parmigiana with two pieces of chicken. Lasagna that's bigger than your cell phone. Mozzarella sticks that should be called mozzarella logs. And fresh bread from an Italian bakery. It's all at Carmella's at McCree's, Niles Avenue, South Bend. Authentic Italian goodness at a price you can afford. Online at McCreeFamily.com.
Summer's most sensational event, the St. Joseph County 4-H Fair, opens today.
Best of all, it's $5 First Friday. All tickets are just $5 each. Kids age 8 and under are still free.
The St. Joe County 4-H Fair opening parade and ceremonies are at 5:30 in the grandstand, and Martin Extreme Racing Motocross is tonight at 7 in the events arena.
Tomorrow is the Fair Queen pageant and the rodeo at 7, with a spectacular fireworks show at dusk.
It's summer's most sensational event, the St. Joseph County 4-H Fair, opening today.
Get details at 4HFair.com.
Oh, yeah. Here we are, Friday again, live from Five Star Dive Bar, downtown Elkhart, 526 South Main Street. We're talking Notre Dame football. We got into a little Notre Dame recruiting. Real briefly, we'll do, since we have the last couple weeks, Sean and I at least, we've talked a lot of Notre Dame baseball.
Sure.
Still no Notre Dame baseball coach. So we'll leave it at that. I'm sure if there are any developments between now and when we are next on air, Sean and I will make sure to go into all the details. We did have a couple of coaches, though, that their names were tossed around with the Notre Dame baseball job, and they parlayed that into a pay increase at their current job, which seems... That seems like good business. It seems like a good idea.
Yeah, good for them. Maybe not great for Notre Dame.
But. So, still nothing has changed there. One thing that's interesting, the college baseball World Series just finished up. Vanderbilt ended up beating Michigan in a three-game series, 2-1. But to have a school like Michigan, obviously a northern school, make the run that they did was pretty unique. And if you look at their roster and their head coach, too, even said, you know, they've kind of flipped recruiting a little bit on their head on the number or type of players that they're recruiting. They're really going regionally.
Right.
And they're going after they had quite a few kids from the Portage, Kalamazoo area. I know a lot of their pitchers were from that area. And growing up in Michigan, too, I'm very familiar with the type of baseball that's played there. And also, too, in the Detroit area, Pontiac, Novi. There's a lot of good baseball in Michigan. And for northern schools to have success, you got to make sure that you're handling business recruiting in-state. And Sean and I talked about this a little bit, too, is a lot of times if you're trying to recruit nationally, and Notre Dame football can get away with it. It's a different brand.
Right.
The value is a little bit different. But if you look at Notre Dame baseball right now, if you are going out of state recruiting, or let's just say out of region, so Ohio, Michigan, Indiana, Illinois, if you're going out of the region there and you're trying to recruit in Florida and Texas and California, a lot of times the guys that you're going to get are going to be good players, but there's a reason why they probably aren't going to Texas, LSU,
right.
Florida State.
There's a reason, at home, right?
They'd be staying at home to go to those programs. So I think for a team like Notre Dame moving forward, take a play out of the playbook of Michigan and really hammer home winning in this region right here and having success recruiting that way.
Yeah, I looked at the two rosters, and Notre Dame's roster include, you mentioned the states, Illinois, Ohio, Indiana, and Michigan. Notre Dame had 7 players from those 4 states. Michigan has 15, and they have 8 alone just from in-state in Michigan. And so maybe there's better baseball players in Michigan than there are in Indiana. Michigan has 2 Indiana players. Notre Dame only has 1. But you'd have to think there's got to be some of those guys in Michigan that Notre Dame can be going after, maybe some more guys in Illinois. I know one of their infielders is from Mount Carmel, a Catholic school in the Chicago area. Certainly not. There's not always going to be the same guys that can go after, like Jordan Brewer, who was the Big Ten Player of the Year, went to a community college after going to St. Joe High School in St. Joe, Michigan. And so Notre Dame's probably not going to be able to bring in a kid out of community college. So there's a little bit different challenge there for Notre Dame. They have to obviously make sure that they like a guy right out of high school and make sure he can get in here. But is a run like that even feasible for Notre Dame, do you think, in the future? What are the right expectations?
I think we're a few years away. It's going to take the right guy coming in, and I think at this point you need a little bit of a culture shock and changing what the MO is. We're not 10, 15 years ago with Pat Murphy and Paul Maneri, where there were championships, won every single year and bids playing in the postseason. It's a little bit, it's different now, and being in the ACC has its challenges too. But you just took a second or third place team in the Big Ten, which is like the 7th best overall conference,
right,
made it to the College World Series final and was a game away from winning. So it's certainly feasible and possible, but I think that getting the right guy to come in here and run the program, probably make some changes. And Sean and I went into this pretty in depth as far as getting a little more university buy-in, as far as upgrade to the facilities, how to maybe build more of a following within the community at the state itself to get more people there. You're always going to be dealing with the pundits that say you can't win in the North. Well, that's been proven wrong, and you've got a lot of good programs now that are taking steps up. You look at what Indiana has done. You look at what Minnesota has done. You look at what Michigan has done. There are some programs in this area that are doing a great job. So, we may be a few years away from that. I'm really interested to see where this program goes and then also ultimately who the athletic directors decide to hire, because I think it's really important right now. You I think can send a message, right? I think it's going to be somebody a little bit younger that maybe they'll give a couple of years to say, well, let's look at how we can make some broad sweeping changes to improve the program. So that's kind of my thoughts on Notre Dame baseball right now. I'm as an alum and a former player, I hope that it continues to get better. So we've got a lot of baseball going on throughout the summer right now. With the college season kind of wrapping up, we now move to really a big focus on Major League Baseball. Certainly there's a large Cubs following. You're a White Sox fan. We've got about a minute or so left. So give us just kind of your – how are you feeling right now? You okay? I know Tim Anderson's on the IR
now.
Yeah,
I mean
– big fan of him, by the way.
Yeah, I like Tim Anderson. I like what the White Sox are doing. I'm feeling – good about where things are heading. Not too worried about the record. That was never going to be the case this season. But some positive developments, especially with Lucas Giolito as the pitcher, and some impressive play from Tim Anderson and guys like James McCann coming out of nowhere and having an all-star level season.
Well, Tyler, thanks a bunch for filling in, pinch hitting here for Sean Stiers this week at Five Star Dive Bar. Remember, next week, Five Star is closed on Friday, so we will not be here. Thanks so much for listening. Stop in. $12 for 2 pounds of wings, $7 for 1 pound. You're listening to Sean and Sharpley, the Leprechaun Lunch on WSBT South Bend, the sports leader.